Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Paul Androlonis, and I'm joined here by Philippe Siragi in the studio. And today we're going to be talking about discipleship, the topic of the week, and we're going to be focusing specifically on a particular verse in Matthew chapter 16. And I'll just read the verse that we're going to be referencing and talking about, and then we'll have a bunch of other verses that we'll talk about as it relates to discipleship and following in Christ. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" And maybe, Philippe, you can kind of start us off. And we were planning to go through some different things, different places where Jesus says, "Follow me," and what that means exactly, and what those different times, how we can learn from them, and what it means for us today as we are learning about what discipleship is.
Right, yeah, and then what we were talking earlier, we're saying if you want to summarize discipleship with one small sentence, it would be "follow me," right? Because there is so many things out there, which is great. There's so many how-to books, you know, and you know, disciple, become a disciple in seven steps, you know, become a disciple or committed Christians. We have so many interesting vocabulary that we add to the Christianity. There's such a, you know, I have this conversation sometimes when I used to teach theology of grace, you know, in, at Maryland Bible College. And there's one thing when you discuss the difference between a Pharisee or legalism versus the gospel of grace. There's some expressions we use sometimes, you know, that you don't find in the Bible. And one of them is, I tell the students, find me a verse that says what it means to be a good Christian. You'll never find that. You're in the flesh or you're in the spirit. And if you are a Christian, then you follow Christ, and following Christ is being a disciple, and vice versa. So I think the theme today, which is, you know, within the week of discipleship, I think it's the most interesting theme of the week, because for me, this is what it means to be a disciple, just follow Christ. It's simple, but it's also very deep, as we'll see, you know, in the verses we're looking at.
Yeah, because I mean, that is, you know, the response. What is the response to those, you know, to that statement from Jesus? We see it like when he's calling his disciples, when he's talking to them, when he's talking to, you know, the many people who are following them, following their group and following them around, he's saying, "Follow me." You know, Matthew, he says, "Follow me." Peter, and Andrew, "Follow me." And it's not, he's not saying, giving all the, he does give some definition or give some clarity to that and what that would look like. But the reality is like, the person who's telling you that, that's what you're responding to, not necessarily something you can kind of calculate and learn or write down the pros and cons of, because it's either I go or I don't. Like in that moment when he says, "Follow me," it's like, okay, am I or aren't I going to follow this person?
You know? It's a simple decision. It's interesting, as I think the word simplicity comes to mind a lot when it comes down to discipleship, which is sounds to be counterintuitive with the idea of discipleship, because I think it's interesting. I don't know if you agree with that, but I've seen that in my own life, and I've seen that in other people's lives as well when I do discipleship, is how we take the trends of the world and we bring them in our Christian life, right? And one of the trends of the modern world is being busy. So it's almost like you're competing of how busier you are, you know? And we bring that in the Christian life, and we look at our, my spirituality will be proportionate on how busy my schedule is. And Jesus calls us out to follow him, not to... Of course, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, we enter into the works that he's prepared for us. But it's not the goal. The goal of our Christian life is to get to know him. And he brings us into situations like works that will put us in places where we'll have to depend on him so we can know him. So the works are a byproduct, a necessity for us to know him. But they're not the end goal. And when we misunderstand discipleship, discipleship is, oh, we're getting busy with Christ. No, that's the consequences of you following him. Because he wants you, he wants me, you and I, and all of us to be in places where we have to depend on him. So if I have a high capacity for work, he's going to outrun my capacity so I can lean on him. But being busy or running around and doing stuff is not discipleship. I think discipleship is simply follow me.
follow him. And like, because we tend as humans to overcomplicate.
Yes.
You know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Yes.
Right? And we can, okay, follow me. Okay. How am I going to do that? Okay, these are all the 15 different things that means for me to follow Christ or what, you know, preach the gospel and make disciples. Okay, so that's what I'm meant to do. And these are all the things and ways that I can do that. And all those things help me to recognize my place or recognize my role or my, you know, identity as a disciple through this, and that. In reality, it's just, okay, where is Christ and how can I hear his voice? Yes. Do I recognize him and what he has called me to do, and how can I do that in a real way and not necessarily in a way that people, because that's the thing too, those things that I want to do as a means of discipleship can be not for me really, but I can do it so I can show other people how great of a disciple I am. You know, like, oh, I'm a great disciple of God, of Jesus Christ. Look at all these ministries that I'm involved in or what I am doing. And like, that's where we can kind of, that we got to go back to like, uncomplicate it.
Yeah.
Remove those complications and say, okay, am I following him? Am I listening to him? Am I closer to him? Or am I caught up in the you know, machine of what I perceive discipleship to be based on whatever book or whatever recommendation or whatever it is that I'm seeing in another way outside of actually who Christ is?
Yeah. You know? I think you use the word identity. I think it's interesting. You know, when I was younger, I think, you know, you could consider me as a workaholic in many ways. When we got married, it was an issue for Françoise because I used to work 6 days a week between 12 and 15 hours a day. Wow. And the other 7 day was the Sundays, where, you know, it's just in morning and evening. So basically we had an afternoon and I realized, talking, this is the way it is, you know, it's just the way it is. And of course you realize after that, when you get older, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I think my work was my identity. Mm. And then you transfer that. I left the job and I go to end up on staff at the church when I was 26, 27. And I realized that I was transferring somehow. Okay, I'm going to be busy now because, and then you realize there's two things. And the one thing we heard this morning at the staff meeting at our church is we bring our natural temperament or natural gifts or, and the trends of the world into our life with Christ. So there's two things I had to learn. Number one is being busy does not mean being spiritual. Yeah. And being good at something does not mean it's a spiritual gift either. Mm. And these get in the way, as for me at least, they get in the way of understanding what simple discipleship is. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm thinking this verse at 2 Corinthians 11:3, where Paul is addressing the Corinthians about something, and he says, you know, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Mm. And it's interesting how, again, counterintuitive the idea of simplicity of Christ is for us. No, there's, you know, I gotta be busy, you know, like, well, you know, like work while, you know, there's, I couldn't quote so many verses, work while it is yet day, you know, and all these things. Yeah. It's okay, but how many times we have these verses come and close the door behind you and enter into your room, or, you know, come with me and pray with me, you know, seek my presence, you know, wait on God. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. One of the main theme of the, of Psalms is waiting on God, expecting from God.
Yeah.
And it has nothing with passivity, as we heard this morning, but it has to do with the fact that I got to be patient. I got to wait on God. And I think sometimes it's interesting to see for me, like, you know, when I think the one thing that God pushes in place where we have to wait is because we don't know how to wait naturally.
Yeah.
So when I pray, I don't hear an answer, I'm going to get it done myself. Yeah. And God is saying, well, you know, so for me, that's also discipleship.
Yeah. Right? And I think like, with that picture of waiting, like anticipation, like hope, like a hope, a living hope that I have that I will have that opportunity. There was a picture that we've heard of, like a game, and there's a game happening and you're on the bench. I was thinking of it with this waiting idea. Like I'm on a team and I'm waiting to go into the game. And what is my temperament on the bench as I'm waiting to go in? I can just be, you know, upset, maybe mad that I'm not in the game right now, or I'm like sitting there like, like don't even care what's happening on the field or the court, whatever. Yeah. And I'm just, but, or I can be sitting and watching what's happening, watching and using the illustration, like watching what God is doing mm-hmm. and anticipating him to use me in whatever way yeah. that he wants me to be used, as opposed to looking at other people being used and me yeah. being jealous or being upset or yeah. being, I could do it better than they could or whatever the mentality is, as opposed to, okay, Lord, I'm just going to watch. I'm going to be looking to you for when you say the word, when I'm supposed to be in the game, and I'm going to be ready.
Yeah.
I'm going to be trusting in you. I'm going to be participating so that when I do, and when I am in the game, I can be most effective for your glory, yes. for the team's glory,
yes.
not for my own glory. And this yeah. is like, I mean, in sports today, this is like a foreign idea. It's all about the individual.
Yes.
But anyways, that's like definitely something that I think is important for us as we're in discipleship, as we're thinking about discipleship. What is our temperament mm-hmm. and what are the things that we are seeing as a result of this following in him, following in Christ? Because maybe my picture of what that means is different than what
yeah.
it actually does mean practically. Because yeah. I think we have this idea in our mind of what being a disciple is,
yeah.
of Christ, and then maybe of a leader or a pastor or somebody, and we think it's going to be a certain way, and it's
yeah.
not that way, and we can have the negative impact in our life that way too.
Yeah.
So like maybe we can talk about that, what that meant for the people that God, that Jesus said, follow me, and what because we talked about this earlier, like he said, follow me and I will do this, or
yes.
and you will do this. So maybe
yes.
we can talk about
sure.
some of those things if you want to.
Sure.
Okay,
I think,
cool.
Well, we have the most famous one we could say is Matthew 4:19, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I think there's a goal in discipleship. But again, you know, it's interesting, like I always find fascinating how, for me, legalism, let's put it this way, is taking the word of God and detaching it from the heart of God, or detaching him from the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm hearing from God and I understand. You know, and I am asking God to, mm-hmm. step aside. Let me do this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I think this is a form of legalism.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. You know, and I think it's interesting to me. So I tell this story, you know, sometimes when I remember, you know, like you have these memories when you're a child. So maybe you were 4 or 5 years old, and I think my dad is remodeling the kitchen, you know, and, mm-hmm. and what do you want to do as a boy? You know, you see your dad draining stuff. What you want to, of course, you pick up something,
mm-hmm.
you hammer something, you make a hole in the wall, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Or so you get it wrong. But at the end, when the kitchen is over, you look at this, and say, whoa, I did mm-hmm. this. You know, I talk to my mom, look, mm-hmm. I did this.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, you know, is like, well, yeah, I mean, there's two things I realized. Number one is he would have done the kitchen way faster without me.
Mm-hmm.
In a way. And I added some work because I nailed the wrong things. I made a hole in,
yes.
in the wall. And I find myself thinking, this is me in the kingdom of God. Like God mm-hmm. decided, I mean, if God wanted his church to succeed, he would step down and says, everybody out of the way, I'm gonna preach myself. And that would be an awesome sermon.
Yes.
Except he decides, I'm going to use those frail guys over here, those frail girls over here, and
yeah.
we're going to do something with it. So we think, like, and then we get in the way, you know, of the ministry of God because God decided that he wants to use us. But that is not discipleship in itself. That is God telling us, follow me, and I will make you fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
But not because I need you to fish men. I can do it myself.
Hmm.
But you need to be fishers of men so you can grow, you know, so you can lean on me. So for me, when God says, follow me, and I will make you, or I will do this,
mm-hmm.
it's because
mm-hmm.
we need it to be able to follow him.
Hmm.
I think that's what I see in there, right?
Yeah, and he's like, I think in these times when he's speaking to these individuals, he's applying this discipleship like to what they understand and
yes.
what they're, especially in this Matthew 4, you know, he's talking to fishermen
yes.
and he's saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of, like, it's
yes.
this is a direct, you know, he's intentionally using that term to help them understand what he is calling them into, right? And we see that it happens, you know, they say immediately they leave their nets and
yeah.
they follow after him.
Yes.
And that's like, because of how directly he's speaking to their heart, really.
Yes.
He's not just, they're not just like, oh, what does that mean? You know, it's like he's like speaking to them,
yes,
and they're receiving it and experiencing it in their heart. And that's like definitely something that I think is important for us to recognize too. Like he's saying, follow me. It's
yes,
not something that some abstract, you know, I have to figure it out and recognize what that means for me, but I have to receive it in my heart so I can then apply it to the different aspects in my life of what that looks like,
yeah,
for me to follow him,
yeah,
you know, and whatever that way it is, like in the verse we read before, denying yourself, or bearing up, taking up your cross, or all these other, things that go along with what he has said and follow me. Like those are aspects of it that we are trying to learn and trying to get closer to him to know what that looks like, not say, oh, this is what it looks like to be a disciple based, yeah, on these different things. Right.
Yeah. I think you're right. And the point is, I think, again, like we have this tendency. I mean, you ask the question, why are these how-to books bestsellers?
Yeah.
Because they give me a way of doing what I'm supposed to without God.
Hmm.
And it might be harsh to say that. I'm saying, yeah, about my motivation. I'm not talking whoever buys them.
Sure,
I'm not,
yeah,
saying that. But if I have a tendency to tell God, get out of my way, I'm doing this, a how-to book will be excellent for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, people ask me sometimes, oh, you know, it's like, it's, I think the grace of God in a way is like, you know, it's an easier message in one way, but I think sometimes, well, it is, unless you're legalistic, because give me a list of things I can do and I cannot do, I'll thrive.
Yeah.
But I thrive in my flesh.
Yeah.
Because I will be able to, you know, like the Pharisees, they ended up judging themselves as good people and judging others as not good, as good people.
Yeah.
So we can take discipleship the same way. Well, I'm going to say something we're going to try to uncover because I think we're live on the radio, but I heard someone say something to me and other people one day. Oh, you know, my wife and I, we went for 3 days with, you know, it was a good time. Oh, okay, you know, and then just in passing, of course, you know, I kept contact. I checked my emails and everything. So, and I took the guy aside after that. This is, I'm sorry, why did you have to say that?
Hmm.
And what do you mean? Why did you have to say, justify the fact you went 3 days on vacation with your wife for an anniversary and you have to tell all of us that you kept contact through emails because of, you know,
mm-hmm,
why? For me, it was interesting. It says, do you realize that you, first, you're sending the message to other people that you can't relax, you, mm-hmm, know, and you, but mm-hmm, and then that your identity. And it's not like it's wrong. It's just interesting to me that you have to feel this way, mm-hmm, you know, and it's also something like that you're yes, be yes, and you no, be no. And mm-hmm, at no point as a disciple, I'm asked to justify my answers. I'm asked to be before God, make a decision, and let my yes be yes and my no be no.
Mm-hmm.
And learning how to say yes and no and follow Christ and without justifying our decisions is also, mm-hmm, something that to me is a part of our Christian life. I don't have to bring in the world into my life. I have to follow Christ. Will I be busy? Yes, most likely. If you love people,
mm-hmm,
and then your phone with the technology today, people will get through to you.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, it was Labor Day, you know,
yes,
so,
yeah,
so we ended up with my wife, what are we doing? And actually what happened is it's kind of unplanned, but then we have someone for breakfast, then we have a group of young adults at the house from, I think it was 2 to 6 p.m., and then one of the persons stayed over and said, hey, you want to stay for dinner? And then she left around 9 p.m., so here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So from 10 in the morning to 9 p.m., we were busy with young people because it was good, you know. It was good for us.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's not that we're not, okay, I have a day off, I'm just going to chill out. I may in a way, but what I did yesterday has nothing to do, and you know, I'm not saying this because I was, you know, go back to the idea, well, I was day off yesterday,
yeah,
but I was
make sure
busy.
Everybody knows that,
yeah,
Philippe was busy yesterday discipling
actually,
people.
Yes, but actually the fun point was it ends up like when, you know, it ends up being like, yes, we are busy sometimes.
Yeah.
But we're busy with things that fill us up. I'm not, yesterday, are we tired at the end of the day? Like, check everybody else. You know,
yes,
you know,
yeah,
we are, things, life is busy in one hand, but it's not busy in the sense that it means anything to me being busy.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a day yesterday when nobody showed up at my house, I would be as happy if somebody, mm-hmm, showed up at my house. So I don't,
yeah,
care. And when, you know, sometimes we have, so what's the point? The point really is simple, right? Being busy does not mean we're spiritual, and being busy does not mean we're a disciple. Hmm. Obeying the voice of God, hearing his voice, that's something we'll say later on, we will get into the works that he has prepared for us. That's what a disciple does. You know, in a way, like we said about James last time, James speaks about, okay, you're vindicated by the works you're doing. Okay, now we will recognize a tree by its fruits. A disciple will bear fruit. A disciple will follow Christ. I have a life of prayer, meditation, you know, preach the gospel, share the gospel with unbelievers. Yes, all of that. But none of this makes me a disciple. Following him makes me a disciple. And when I'm following him, guess what? We're doing stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think that that's the biggest thing. Yeah, if we're following him, then we're going to emulate the things that he did, which he was serving and he was loving people all the time and always doing that, not because he had to, but because that was his heart towards people. And if I am willing, if I am a disciple of his, then I am drawing closer to him as I'm doing that, not for the sake of, oh, I have to fill up my schedule because this is what disciplers do, or this is what Jesus would have me to do, because then I can get, it becomes less about me following him and more about me proving that I'm following him.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, I got to make sure that I'm doing all these things. And then those interactions that we have with people are less about the time together, more about just having those check boxes on my schedule of like, okay, I'm making sure, okay, I got to hit this mark, got to hit these people, got to do this. And the people that you're discipling will see the same thing. They'll know if you're just like doing it for the sake of doing as opposed to actually engaging and actually being and giving your, you know, self the time that you need to rest in order so that you can be available. Because that is something that I think can be difficult for people, especially when our schedules are busy and your ministry is a big part of that too, where you're like going, and then you just crash at the end just because you're physically can't do it. But God gives us that energy and that excitement and that ability to minister when it's beyond our capacity even sometimes. And it doesn't take you doing anything necessarily, just living your life and following him in your own personal life can be discipling somebody else. Like, yeah, I want to meet, but I really need to take the day and be with my wife and just not be around anybody else. And that's what I need.
Yes.
And that's what following Christ is, knowing when to rest and when to do what you need to do. And I think that that's part of the example that Christ, you know, having those times of serving and discipling people, then having those times of like your own personal prayer life and times that you're alone as well, because I think we can kind of get caught up in those, you know, okay, I need to always be with people doing things, which is, I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but there's a balance that exists there where you are, you know, having your own person, and you can feel it when you're starving, when that personal individual, am I following Christ? When that is getting malnourished, you know, I'm not having enough time in the Word. I'm not having enough of my own personal prayer life. And I'm feeling the weight of all these different things because I haven't been focused on my own and personal discipleship with Christ and learning and getting closer to him in that way. So,
It's a big deal in one way, because I think you were saying, like, oh, see, when we get busy in our own way, because, okay, I'm going to rewind a little bit. Like, for me, so before I became the director of young adults at Greater Grace, I was the director of Maryland Bible College and Seminary, which was the fourth seminary or Bible college I was directing. Mm-hmm. So I had an experience of 23 years of directing colleges. Do I feel comfortable? Completely. Do I wake up in the morning in panic mode because I, oh my God, I have a college to direct? Not at all.
Yeah.
Which is a blessing in one way experience. On the other hand, it's a curse because I can lean on myself because of the experience.
Yes, yes.
So leaving that, ending myself with a young adults director in the church, same age group, right? 18 plus.
Mm-hmm.
But completely different dynamic. And the relationship is based on the actual relationship that you build, not on the fact that we have an agreement that you've got class to do, you got assignments to do, you know, and if you're late for class, I can talk to you. And that would be my discipleship moment with you. It's like you and I have to have this conversation. You miss two classes already. You understand if you miss a third one, you won't be able to. So I have a lot of points where I can have contact, not the case with the young adults.
Yeah.
So it puts me in a place where I'm completely uncomfortable in doing discipleship. Because I don't have the usual tools.
Yes.
And that's exactly what I needed to refocus on leaning on God. Mm-hmm. Now, what do I do? What do I do now? And I think this, God puts us in places sometimes which it is exactly what we need. You know, I had this, the verse I was looking for, you know, So when we need, we heard that as our staff meeting at our church this morning, right? So mm-hmm. the idea is that if I have gifts, I can use those gifts, but those gifts can get in the way also of me being a disciple because I'm doing what I know what I'm doing. And the other aspect for me that is very interesting, when we are so busy and we understand that our lives are busy, we cannot do the second mile. You know, Matthew 5, Jesus says, you know, be ready to the second mile. So a bit of a context on that. So under the Roman Empire, when you were conquered, then the soldier who was traveling could ask a local to carry luggage for 1 mile.
Yes.
Not more than 1 mile. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, well, how about you do the second mile? What does it mean for you and I? It means that I'm not so busy that I don't have time for a second mile, but I'm too busy serving, quote unquote. I don't have the energy or the willingness to do a second mile. So I'm super busy, and people are asking me things. I'm just following the program. I'm in the flow. You know, I'm in the flow of things, like busy, just like I would be in the world. And when I need, there's no room for me to serve because I'm doing what I'm supposed to, you know. But the point being is for me and for you and I, or for all of us, to have a chance to go the extra mile, we need to have the time to do it. So I'm doing what God calls me to do. And just like think about, you were saying about Jesus earlier, Jesus gives us a model. What do we see? Jesus, he hides in another place. He gets away from the crowds. But what happens when he gets, guys, let's go on the other side and get some rest. When he gets on the other side, guess what? He's got a crowd of people waiting for him. And Jesus says, okay, well, there you go. That's your second mile. And the disciples, oh, no, I thought we were on vacation. Oh, we got this Airbnb over here. We're just going to have a good time. Just the 12 of us just with us, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
And just, well, no, we have 5,000 people to feed or to teach. So that is the second mile to me. But if I'm too busy and God takes away by circumstances, or life takes away by circumstances my special day, if I'm too busy being a disciple, quote unquote, then I won't like that change of momentum.
Yeah.
But if I'm doing what God wants me to do and I'm looking for this rest day, but God put something in front of me, I have the energy, I have the willingness, I have the heart to do it because I'm not too busy for God.
Yeah, and I think one of the example of that, having these criteria that I think in discipleship that I need as a follower of Christ, you know, Matthew 10, Mark chapter 10, we have the rich young ruler who comes up to Christ and asks him, what do I have to do to be saved? You know, that whole, and he, you know, in verse 20 says, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Like, this is my, I'm doing what a disciple does. Like, we could fill in the blank there. Yeah. Like, okay, Jesus, I am a disciple. Look at, these are the things that I do to prove to you that I'm a disciple. Yes. And then it's like the second mile thing again. Okay, Jesus looking at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross, and follow me. And this is, like you said, okay, you've done all this.
Yes.
Great job.
Yes.
Now I want you to take everything that you work for, and then, you know, sell it, give it away, and now come follow me. And that's what real discipleship is. And we see what happens, that he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And I think that's like the comparison, that's the spectrum of like trying to be a disciple, but not following what Christ, his example is. And like in Philippians 2, we see that too, where there is like joy that we get in this second mile thing, in this discipleship, where, okay, I'm able to deny myself, deny those things that I think I should be doing for Christ, deny those things that make me feel good or that makes my life better from a natural perspective, in order that I can be more like Christ and in that conformity to him, to what he has done and what he is doing and who he is, I am getting more joy as a result of it, so that it's not a burden, but I am enriched and I am rejoicing in that, instead of keeping a tally, or instead of trying to recognize, okay, am I doing what I need to do? Am I following him? Am I looking to him? Do I see him in my own life?
Yeah.
So that I can make sure that I can have the joy that's set before me because I'm trusting in him and longing for that relationship that I have with him, which is that discipleship.
Yeah, and I think I go back to the devotional this morning we had at our church, Greater Grace, for those who are not maybe from our church, but we have every Tuesday morning we have a staff meeting and the pastor of our church usually gives a devotional. It was interesting because he spoke about the fact also sometimes we get weary because we do things in a natural, in the flesh.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me, if I want to take your point a little further, if you take the parallel passage in Matthew 19 with the rich young ruler, he says two things. So he's supposed to be the archetype of the disciple. He's done everything since his youth. Yeah. Everything right. He's asking two questions and that's so revealing. Number one is, what does it take for me to have eternal life? He's not even sure he has it.
Yes.
And number two, when Jesus says, these are the commandments, he says, I did all this, what do I lack? Verse 19, verse 20.
Yeah.
So he's lacking something. So if I'm a disciple and I don't follow Christ, but I follow stuff or a program, will I be lacking? Of course I will.
Yeah.
Was I lacking in my life when I'm still lacking in my life when I lose the focus of being a disciple, meaning following him completely?
Yeah.
So no wonder we're tired. No wonder we're weary because we don't want to do the second mile because what we do is already the third mile. I'm doing 3 miles. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Like, and then we brag on the fact that, you do 1 mile and sometimes you do the second mile. I'm doing 3 miles every day. Like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jesus said, and then God may ask, I'm going to ask you a fourth one because where is the extra one?
Exactly. So,
in the service. And I think it's so interesting,
Yeah, I like that. I think the boasting, like, what is the purpose of what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm following Christ so that I can draw closer to him and have that relationship with him. And, like, what does that really look like? I'm following in him, like, I'm following or coming after Christ as, it's said in Matthew 16, which is the original verse that we read. And, like, what does that, like, look like in a practical way? Like, what do you think? Like following him, like he is the Son of God, 100% God, 100% man, and we are called to be like him, to love like Christ, love our neighbor as ourselves, and we are called to be like him. That's what this discipleship life is about, and what being a Christian is being his image, or following in his path that he's led before us. And like, how does that like happen? What does that look like from a practical perspective in our lives? And I think it's us drawing closer to him, learning about him, and then having that impact us, like not just on an intellectual level or theological level, but impacting us in our heart, having our heart transformed and the renewal of our mind in Romans 12, and then our heart, new heart and a new spirit that's in us in Ezekiel 36. And then the works that we do are not, it's not the works that I do that make that happen, but they're the byproduct, like you said earlier, of this transformation that happens in my heart so that I can follow in his footsteps and do what he did in a way that I can now in my life now.
Yeah. I think denying ourselves, what does it mean in one way? It's exactly what you're saying. We might have this grand idea, I'm nothing, I'm a carpet, and then, well, compared to God, of course, that we are insignificant.
Yes.
He's holy. I'm kind of a holy when if I walk in the spirit. He's perfect. I'm far from being perfect. Yes, of course.
Yes.
But, I don't like the idea of, I'm nothing. Yes, of course. In the plan of God, by myself, I'm useless, but I'm being used by God. So the point being here is denying myself does not mean, I'm meaningless in that way. No, we are, as Christians, we are so loved by God that he died for us. So we have value, right? So denying myself does not mean that I am I find myself I have been so insignificant that I don't have any value. But if I don't deny myself, I can't follow him, because just like last week, we spoke about, you know, how do we not get in the way of the gospel? Mm-hmm. I can get in the way of my own growth by deciding myself that I'm going to do what God, Christ is supposed to do with me. So mm-hmm. denying myself in following him, first, he says I'm returning left. He's not asking, I don't see Jesus having staff meeting in the morning. Hey, we have a whole day today. Should we go to Samaria? Mm-hmm. Should we go to Antioch? Where should we go? He's like, no, we're going over there.
Yeah.
And you follow me. Jesus is not calling in a meeting and say, hey, what's you guys thinking?
Yeah.
No. He gets up, he moves, and then you follow him. That's mm-hmm. So that's the idea. So I think when we don't deny ourselves, we don't follow him.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on a second, Jesus. I was thinking this way.
Yes.
Like maybe we could go there, over there. You know, it's like we always have plans. And then when I don't deny myself, then I put myself in that way that I'm actually getting in the way of my own discipleship because I know better.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's so interesting to see Jesus and how he interacts with the disciples
yeah.
in that type of mentality where they're part of his ministry
yeah.
and they're trying to like make themselves feel like they're bigger than they are. You mm-hmm. know, like we're saying, you were talking about we're like making ourselves seem insignificant, but also yes. there's the other end where I make myself too important. And he says in Luke 22, talking about, they're arguing about who's the greatest.
Yeah.
And he says in verse 26 of Luke 22, not so among you, on the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For yeah. who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it among you as the one, capital O, who serves, right? And then like later on, Jesus talks about his example that he is setting for them, where he's in John 13 and verse 12, you know, starting in verse 12, Jesus says to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So they're like trying to figure where they fit in to this whole discipleship thing. Like, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. They were. But like, what does that mean? It means that I am nothing. Mm-hmm. Christ is everything. And I am serving.
Yeah.
I am doing what he did, not because I have this place or this notoriety because yeah. I'm his disciple or yeah. apostle, but because I have his heart in me that I am laying that down. Yes, I am a disciple of Jesus, but that means nothing because I am serving you and I am washing your feet and I'm yeah. doing what Jesus did yes. by doing that, by sacrificing or denying myself and laying down that notoriety, yeah. perceived notoriety that in any other realm would be the thing I would boast in. But actually, I am not boasting in that, but boasting in the fact that I am doing what Jesus did. He's yeah. my example. I'm following in that example.
Yeah. I like when, you know, in Luke 10, when they're sent two by two and they come back and they're rejoicing, oh, even the spirits are submitted to us. And you're mm-hmm. just, well, rejoicing the fact that your names are written in the book of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so none of that matters. Like, this is not discipleship.
Yeah.
Discipleship, you're with me. You're in Christ. Your name is written in heaven. You're saved for eternity. That's the rejoicing.
Yeah.
The rejoicing is not my productivity.
Yeah.
And we might have this idea, oh, look at the world. What do you have in your resume? Well, you know, when my friend and I, we go out, we cast demons.
Mm-hmm.
It's like so cool, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and just, well, no, rejoicing the fact that your name is written in heaven.
Yeah.
That really what matters to Christ.
Yeah.
All these things, Jesus could say, I can do it myself. I don't need any of you. Did Jesus need disciples? He didn't need them.
No.
So that's the point. Like, the disciples are not needed. We're needing mm-hmm. the discipleship.
Yeah.
So it's not the other way yeah, around. So we yeah. get that right. We need to follow him. In the, when he walks, we follow him. We don't need. He doesn't need us with him. Mm-hmm. So it goes one. It's a one way idea. Like
yeah, you know,
he can do things. God can do things without us, but he chooses to use us. And that's what discipleship is.
Yeah, and that discipleship is for our benefit.
Yes.
It's not for his. And I had this picture of thinking of like if you're lost, you know, you're driving somewhere. Like nowadays, you have your phone with you all the time. Yeah. Let's just say, you're driving somewhere, you're going somewhere, and you don't know how to get there.
Yes.
You know, this happens at Johns
Hopkins.
Your
phone is dead.
I work at a hospital it's like a city in and of itself, and like people get lost all the time.
Yeah.
And like, there's two ways that you can help somebody when they're lost. You can say, okay, you go down to the end of the hallway, turn right, then go to the store, and then turn left, or do what, you use the landmarks, you give them directions, and you send them on their way.
Yeah.
Right? And they could get to the destination, or they could not. They may ask along the way.
Yes.
Or I could walk with them.
Yes.
And take them to that destination. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what this picture that I had of, like, sometimes we think that discipleship is Christ gave us directions and we have to follow them so that we can get to that end destination. But the reality is he's given us the directions, but he's also walking with us along that step of the way. And that's what, in discipling other people, that's like the something that we can learn, something that we can apply is like, okay, yes, I am helping and giving guidance, but also I am walking with people.
Yeah.
And not just for me, like I'm nothing. I'm walking with Christ and I want you to walk with Christ too. And that's how I'm leading in discipleship is that we're walking together to get to this place. Christ is leading us and we are following him.
Yeah.
He is with us. He's not just, oh yeah, I'm going to be here. Just turn right, turn left, you know, make a, you know, whatever it is. And, but he is with us, helping us go where we're supposed to go. And that's like the reality of this discipleship is that he is with us and he is leading us. And it's not just, follow this is his word. And this is, you know, Jesus is the word in John 1:1. So we can have that as a way that we are experiencing him, in this discipleship walk that we're on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a couple of comments, maybe. Well, first, thank you, guys, Aretha, Elizabeth, Madeline, and I think we scrolled down, so I don't see all the names. But we have some. Yeah, thank you. And there is one thing that was said about, you know, a discipleship. Can you scroll down? Can you scroll up a little bit? Thank you. Discipleship is living in a habitual fellowship with him. That's one way to summarize that. So thank you for that. I think it's and the point being our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, something he said here, which is, I agree, we answer to God, not to people. That's true. We answer, you know, we're only accountable to God. In some way, I agree. I think you're right. So the point we're making is that disciples, we follow Christ. Now, within ourselves, there's a whole dimension of us, like, you know, like you help me be a disciple of Christ by showing me an example, also challenging me as well. So accountability is a good thing as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
It's like, but I have to obey Christ.
Yes.
So that's the point we're making also. So thank you. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple of things that we have this. What do you think in John 10:27? You know, those you follow me, and those, you know, my disciples hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
What comes to mind when you hear that? You know, to you.
Well, I think in this discipleship conversation, I couldn't help but think about like the shepherding picture.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and we've seen that there's a video on YouTube of like a shepherd. People are calling the sheep, and they don't do anything, and then the shepherd comes and calls the sheep, and they all come running to the shepherd. So I think of that picture when I hear when thinking about that, my sheep hear my voice, or the disciples hear the voice of the shepherd. When I think about that in John 10, was it?
Yeah, 10:27.
John 10:27. Yeah. Yeah, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, that's like we have to recognize the voice of the shepherd, the voice of Christ in our lives, so that we can be ready to follow or be even hear that. And what is that? What is that voice? Where do we hear that voice? How do we hear that voice?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
We have those different, you know, it's not in the tornado, it's not in the fire or the strong wind, but it's the still small voice in some cases where we are listening, and when we hear it, we know it and we respond to it. Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting in the context where, because he's answering the Jews surrounding him, according to verse 24, mm-hmm. How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, you tell us plainly. And Jesus says, well, you know, I told you and you do not believe. And the name they bear with, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. And I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So the point being is that when we're Christ, we're born again. He's actually equating the fact that being saved and being a disciple. That's, I think, an interesting point. We might say, well, there's two steps. You get saved and then you become a disciple later on. No, you're saved, and by being saved, you become a disciple automatically. So that the reason why you don't hear me is because you're not. Right? When you're saved, when you hear my voice, you follow me. And I think it's interesting at first because he says two things. They hear my voice, so they know my voice, and I know them. So there is a relationship there. Yes. So another point about discipleship, it really is what we've been saying in different ways earlier. It's a relationship question. It has nothing to do with measurements or metrics that can, you know, like, okay, you're a good disciple, you're an okay disciple, you're a bad disciple. We follow Christ, and we hear his voice. And we follow him. Like he, of course, the shepherd says, "Let's go." We go, you know. And that's amazing how simple that is as well.
Right? And I think that the, you know, tell us plainly, like what they say. Tell us how, you know, to know these things. And like I can't help but think of when he's talking to Nicodemus in John 3, where he's like, "You're supposed to be like one of the teachers of the law, and you don't know these things." And I can't remember if it's there or in another place where he's like, I think it is in John 3 where he's like, I'm trying to tell you about, you don't even receive the earthly things that I'm telling you about this, and you want me to explain eternal things. You know, like, how are you gonna understand how to be a disciple if you don't even listen to the things that I'm saying? Follow me. Right? The simplicity. You don't listen to the simple thing. How are we gonna understand the complexity of all that who I am and all that means in the realm of all of humanity and the universe, you know? So that's like, but tell us plainly. It's like, okay, I have, follow me. That's how, as plain as it can get, as simple as it can get, I think, for discipleship.
Yeah, I think I think we covered it, but before, there's a couple of verses we can give, and if that's okay, we can leave people with that. But so we, you know, like Matthew 10:38, he equates following and bearing, carrying your cross. So I read that's a good verse, you know, and then John 12:26, he's associating serving and following as well, you know. And the one thing also that is interesting in John 21:21-22, when he says, you know, like, you know, he's been asked the question, what about him, and Jesus basically says, what is it to you? Just you follow me. And also how personal discipleship is, you know. And that's you know, so these are really great points.
The personal simplicity of that, follow me. All right. Well, amen. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to join us for our next show about discipleship the rest of this week. Thanks, everybody.
Amen.